Welcome to The Drift, a Starfinder podcast created by NerdsOnEarth.com. On today's episode, we are looking at the characters and how they were created for our series, Out in the Drift. Listen as our players describe their characters and how they created the unique race and character combinations to form the Out in the Drift crew.
Welcome to The Drift, and today we are going to be talking about the first characters we've created with Starfinder that we're going to be using to play through the Starfinder Society quest. And today, Clave is going to go first and talk about the character he's created, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that. So, Clave, talk me through, when you started the character creation process, what were you hoping to do?
I had no idea. I was just hoping to make a character, and I saw the vest. Which was an interesting, the big lizard guy. I read the setting stuff that these were in war with the Pact Worlds. So these were some tough sons of guns. And so I thought about that. I'm thought, okay, well, here's a perfect soldier class. But then I'm 43. And a couple weeks ago, I went to try to grab the rim of a basketball. And I couldn't anymore. And I used to always be able to jump up and grab the rim. And I'm like, huh, getting old is not good. So I applied that to the character. And I thought, huh, what would be interesting if here's this big warrior race that kind of lost his physicality. So the concept of Bo Kemper, my character, is that he fought in the war. He was this tough, tactically sounded character. And he became a prisoner of war. So his squad went down. He was in a prisoner of war camp, and through that, just lost all of his physicality. Like, just, here's this big man that, and they broke him. And so, so mechanically, if you think about it, here, what once was a 10th level soldier or whatever became a zero level nothing. Found religion. His hope in Serenre was what got him through those times and being captive in the POW. And so mystic. So level one mystic. There you go. So, but then it's kind of this character where, he knows the tactics. His body doesn't do it anymore. He's just an old vest, kind of a broken down shepherd buck sort of character. But he's not a soft guy. He's not a pacifist by any means. He'll put someone down. So that was kind of the concept for the character. I'm like, well, I'm getting old. I can't grab the basketball rim anymore. What would that be like as a character that got old? And then obviously inspired by John McCain. And he is played by Wilford Brimley. So that's Bo Kemper right there. He is John McCain, if he was played by Wilford Brimley in an oatmeal commercial.
Yeah, I think you point out some interesting things there. So if you read the setting stuff in the back of the core rule book, you get to this place where you realize the Vesk have not been part of the Pact Worlds for very long. And so a character as old as yours has been through a war, and has been a part of that fight and that battle. I think that definitely can give some options. If you're running a homebrew campaign, like, how does a Vesk who's old enough to remember the war feel about it? Is he on board with this whole Pact World thing, or is he more a brown coat in the realm of Malcolm Reynolds, just out on the edges and trying to dodge the Pact World stuff as much as they can? So I think that's a really interesting a play for sure. Made you, so obviously you wanted to move away from Soldier, which is sort of the iconic character they've pushed. What made you lean into Mystic?
It's just that was my concept. So when he was a prisoner of war, he had no, his physicality was taken away. It was just this kind of, his God gave him hope, and that's what gave him through, and that's where he kind of awakened this mystical side, this mysticism. And it's played entirely against type. He should be a soldier based upon the mechanics of the game. So he's kind of a worthless character. He doesn't do what you expect him to do. He doesn't do anything well. So a mystic. His mission in life, again, a broken character, his mission in life is to make broken things whole. where his mission in life earlier was to burn it down.
That's cool. Did you pick Sarenrae for a reason to be the deity?
I picked Sarenrae because I don't know any of the new deities in Starfinder, and sure. I knew Sarenrae from Pathfinder.
Okay.
So, yeah, not all these decisions are deep. You just got to roll a character.
Yeah, and as you play it, you know, you get more options and opportunities. So, in your case, I could definitely see, like, down the road, you could multi-class and maybe you're relearning some of those soldier skills.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't want to look ahead too much, but that's the thinking, right?
Yeah, some options there. So, cool. That's good to see in an interesting character. As you were picking out the spells and that kind of stuff for a mystic, anything stand out to you? Anything that you jumped on because it was unusual or a different kind of choice?
Yeah, I went straight healing. He's mystic for Starfinder, but he's a cleric.
Yeah.
Fitting with that mission to make broken things whole. So I wanted him to be able to keep the party standing upright. And again, as a Vask, you would have expected him to be the soldier that was up in the front. So now he's the mystic in the back.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool, interesting concept for sure. All right, Fields, why don't you talk about the character you created for Starfinder as we're getting ready to play these quests.
Sure. One of the things that I'm really interested in, obviously I love science fiction, so this is really cool, but a lot of the themes and ideas in the story or in the setting we can relate to. So I'm a professional counselor.
Yeah.
I work with kids. A lot of times kids with disabilities, with challenges, and what I do is a strengths-based approach, whereas a lot of times therapy is medical. There's something broken or something wrong, and we have to fix it. I like starting with what's good. So when I created a character, he's really a blank slate. Androids have this interesting way of procreating, where a soul inhabits a construct and it willingly gives up that construct to let another soul come and inhabit it. Now, in the timeline that Paizo has set up, about 160 years ago, androids were granted citizenship. They were slaves, and now they're free. That's eerily similar to what we have here today. We're really not that far removed, and civil rights are a big part of what's going on. Identity is a big part of what's going on.
Sure.
What's in the news. So thinking about starting with something that's a blank slate. My character has inhabited this construct for only about a month and really is naive. A child coming into the world already having knowledge, being able to move, doesn't have to learn to walk or talk, already understands all these things, but not understanding relationships. And again, with my business, that's really important, exploring relationships and how you can start and what you become based on the influence of the people around you.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting, so androids, like you said, in the Starfinder system are sort of birthed as adults, right? There's not a, you're going to grow up in size and stature. You suddenly are all at once in this thing. And yet there's so much of like development that still you would feel like androids are playing catch up. So I think it's going to be a really cool way to think about you're playing this character who is learning things that in stature and in form, maybe it looks like you would already know and yet you don't. And I think for the setting, I think it's really interesting to think about if you're homebrewing something with androids, what if you did a whole group of them that are children, essentially, new ones? I think there's some interesting things there. But then, so you picked Android, but then you went in a different direction in terms of class. You kind of did you're definitely not min-maxing. Talk to me about why. So you picked Envoy. Why did you pick that?
I also, in my personal life, I'm interested in science, technology, obviously, religion. You were just talking to Clave about why he picked his deity. Yara Asa, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, is the deity that I picked, and that is the goddess of knowledge, mental perfection, scholarship, and science. So this character, P9KO, and I mean, it's a little on the nose, but Pinocchio, essentially, is a blank slate. Everything's great. Everybody's his friend. He'll try everything. Not sure of what to do, looking to other people for guidance. So wanting to gain that knowledge and connecting to other things, Envoy, somebody who their main thing is charisma, relating to other people, wants to go out, wants to meet other people, assuming naively that everybody's going to be wonderful and he's going to have all these friends and learn all this amazing stuff. And I also picked the theme of Xenoseeker. You know, so essentially, P9 is really passionate, really interested in going out and learning as much as he can. And, you know, throwbacks, different favorite movies or ideas that pop up. Johnny number five, more input. So that's one of the things that's in my mind, too, as I'm doing this. And Bicentennial Man was another thing. Somebody who starts off as a servant and is on this road to trying to discover their own identity.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting character. And then one, again, as you grow, as the character levels up, you could take in a lot of different directions. And I think that's a first character is really good when it's not obvious where you're going to go next. And I think that's something that you guys, both of you have kind of set up, and I think is really good.
Yeah. And it's probably not obvious because honestly, I have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, playing off these other characters off the group is going to decide.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of role playing, right?
And it'd be pretty interesting. I mean, you're truly a level one character. And it'd be interesting, like, as we go forward between you and I, and even with Will, who's going to talk later, you know, I'm this grizzled old character and you're this brand new level one. Interesting interactions between these two. We got a little buddy cop show coming up, I'm sure.
And that also gives me an excuse for rolling poorly, for failing on checks, because, hey, you know, I'm just trying this. The dice will warm up. It'll get better. I'll get more skill ranks. It'll come around.
Yeah, it definitely can cover for a multitude of bad die rolls. So I think that's an interesting one. I also like, Andrew, what you've done with your character. You want to talk some about Lent Goba? And talk to me about why you built the character the way you did and what you're excited about.
Sure. So Lent's a Yosoki mechanic. And I think I picked mechanic first mostly because I wanted to be able to interact with some of the technology and something that's new to Paizo's role-playing system. There's no tech in Pathfinder at all, and since technology seems to be the biggest difference between Pathfinder and Starfinder, I wanted to pick a class that could really interact with that and let me sort of experience all this new stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's... it's one of those things, as you're building a Starfinder character, you know, you can lean into that technology part that, you know, is, if it's in Pathfinder, it's sort of on the edges in some of their classes. So as you built that out, why did you pick Yosoki?
So Clave and I were at his place the other day, and I was just trying to think of a character. And so I thought of a mechanic, and then I was thinking, well, maybe he's kind of clever. I thought of the character Data from the Goonies. And,
yeah.
He's sort of small and he's not the big, powerful, you know, popular kid or whatever in that show, in that movie. So I decided to maybe sort of follow that lead and build somebody who maybe wasn't big in stature, but was useful in skill. I kind of like to go away from the meat shield character if I can sometimes and do something a little more interesting.
And Lent sort of has an advantage in that you're a mechanic. You also get a drone. So tell me a little bit about your drone and how you're hoping to use that.
Yes, my drone's name is Sparky. It's just a classic hover drone with a camera and a weapon mount. And I like to think of it sort of as the Starfinder version of an animal companion, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
But drones are cool because they're powered off of an AI that a mechanic builds itself. And the AI is so advanced and specific that really only that mechanic can repair it, access it, upgrade it. So I'm hoping that by doing that, it sort of gives Sparky a life of its own and a maybe a bit of a personality of its own, too. And I can just build it out.
Yeah, well, definitely something that provides some usability in a way that makes your character even more kind of diverse and more able to do different kinds of things. I did, before we kind of left your character, I did want to talk about your special ability to hide items.
Yes.
So share with people, as you kind of were building this out, you sort of made this discovery. So share a little bit about one of the features of the Yosoki that stand out to you.
So Yosoki are rat folk. They're kind of squirrel-like and chipmunk-like in their stature. And as a result, they're able to carry up to one bulk in their cheek pouches. Bulk is kind of fuzzy, I suppose, in that if I had 1.9 bulk, it still counts as one. So I could really fit a lot of stuff in my cheek pouches, and I'm just excited to spit a grenade out at an enemy at some point.
Stash away a whole bunch of things. Yeah, you're going to be the guy that if you get captured and go to prison, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, lockpick.
You got plenty of stuff in there. All right. So let's talk to Will. Will is going to be playing another android. So actually, we have two in the party, but I've kind of got a different take. So tell us a little bit about your character, Will.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of commonality between what Fields was talking about with his character and mine, but Neth is pretty different on some fundamental levels. So Fields talked about the Thist Rebellion that led to the personhood and citizenship of the androids. Neth 11 actually fought in the Thist Rebellion. So he's over 180 years old. He's been consumed with this notion of elevating androids to, you know, just full citizenship inside the Pact Worlds. And so he actually spent his life after the Rebellion as a bounty hunter. As I was making the character, the first thing I kind of really fell in love with was the bounty hunter theme and the whole idea of just tracking people down across the stars, you know. So Neth, once the Rebellion kind of settled down, he turned his attention to tracking down and seeking revenge on the executives of the mining colony that had enslaved him. So once he finally was successful in that, it took him, you know, many, many, many decades, but he eventually found and killed all of the executives of this company. And at that point, he submitted himself for renewal. He figured, okay, I'm done. It's time to move on. But it didn't take. He woke up the next morning, and it was still the same soul in the same body. He was different, but the same. All the memories, all of the grudges, all of the pain of being enslaved. But in the same way that P9KO is a complete blank slate, he had to start over as well. And so that's where he kind of ended up finding his way into the Starfinder Society, largely because he had no idea where else to go.
And I think it's an interesting take. You know, we see that all the time in science fiction and fantasy works of characters who aren't sure of who they are. So if you've ever seen the show Westworld or the show Dollhouse, there's this idea of, like, as much as you want to be a blank slate, there's still some other impacting things in your personality. So I think that gives you a lot to role play with moving forward. And I like that idea that you've got a long, rich history that could show up if we were doing some homebrew stuff. It would definitely be a place we could play around with, you know, what if the children of those you hunted down suddenly decided to turn on you, you know, some things like that. So as you picked your character, you chose an operative. Talk a little bit about why you did that and kind of what you're leaning in towards there.
Yeah, so I said earlier that the bounty hunter was the first thing that really jumped out at me. And so the first character I rolled up was actually a Lashunta Technomancer bounty hunter. And sometimes, I don't know if y'all have ever had this experience, but the character just never clicked. It never fit me. So I ended up just looking through the other classes, and the idea of the operative really started to stand out. This whole notion of having been essentially an assassin in the past, of being very committed to, I'm a ghost specialization. So Neth 11 is all about getting in, getting something done, getting out, and being completely undetected. So it's a little different for me. I typically play casters and pretty much everything. Even when this world bleeds over into video games, you know, I'm a caster in Skyrim. I'm a caster everywhere. So I wanted to do something different. I wanted to see what it'd be like to play a totally different type of character.
Yeah, great. And the last person in the party is being played by Earth Nerd Atkins. So talk a little bit about what you chose for your character and how you're hoping to take that character into the story.
Well, right off the bat, I knew I wanted to be a Salarian. And when we had first kind of gotten the introduction to some of the classes that were available in Starfinder, Jason called dibs on a Salarian, but then he ended up getting stuck as the GM. So I was like, that's it. I'm dibs on Salarian. I'm going to be the Salarian. I just think it's a neat class. I like the balance mechanic of it. Just philosophically, I'm trying to play her pretty utilitarian. I think that she, in her backstory, she is a bit of a Robin Hood. She sees imbalance, especially economically. And I think that the imbalance of economics and the injustice of a lot of the economy, especially on Castrovel, just upsets her. So she was stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. So her backstory made short, she stole from some of the wrong rich folks. And during the particular heist attempt, she was not only spotted, but she was recognized. Her brother had taken up a job as a guard for a family on Castrovel that she was routinely making these heists and hits on. So she knocked him out, and she doesn't know if he gave up her identity to the family by will or by force. But all she knows is that she's she's wanted. So she found she ran to the Starfinder Society for a little bit of a buffer, to be surrounded by folks who supposedly had some ability, create a little bit of a buffer around her, some safety, and possibly some opportunity to be anywhere but Castrovel. So she's on the run, and she's not incapable of defending herself. A lot of her skill points and abilities are invested in such a way that she can be evasive when she wants to be distracting when she wants to be. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how she develops as we continue on playing through the scenarios, for sure.
If there's a reward, we might turn you in.
You might. Good.
How many credits are in it? You don't know us. We're level one.
You'll have to ask the family.
Have you seen the budgets for level one characters? Like, you might be worth a lot.
I could use some credits.
Do talk a little bit about the race you picked, Atkins. Why did you pick a Lashunta?
In part, it was because we had tossed around the idea of being this live play podcast, and I wanted some equal representation across some of the different races. So that, I mean, she got a nod where Android and Lashunta and Vesk didn't. Just by that, human just seemed a little bland for my particular tastes, I guess. But I did also like the some of the spell-like abilities that she got along with that. I thought that fit really well with the type that I had in mind for her, as being somebody who, when she wanted to, could create an opening for her to disappear, you know, with days, for instance, or be able to read somebody's mind given a particular amount of time and sense if they're a tail, you know, looking for the bounty that's placed upon her head, and maybe get that one more step ahead, just based on what she was able to pick up with that particular ability. So it was 50-50, maybe 60-40, 60 being because nobody else was Lashunta. So,
well, and I think it's an interesting dynamic of to build a party where everybody kind of plays what they want, and then to have the Starfinder Society be as the core of what pulls you all together and starts you as a group. I think that really helps. If you're like me in the GM seat, to be able to have that dynamic of, you're not trying to create a false sense chemistry of, you've got something that's putting them together, and then over time let your characters develop chemistry among each other. You know, you've already kind of thought about, what are some ways that the old grizzled characters could help the newbie? You know, what are some ways that maybe they'll work to clear your name? You know, all these kinds of dynamics. So I think it's going to be an interesting ride for us as we play some Starfinder.
But you make us sound much deeper than we are. You ask why we make these, like, they're just cool. It's like, I want to be Rocket Raccoon. I want four arms. I want to be the big lizard guy. A Jedi. Like, it's just fun.
And I don't know that Olin is particularly considered with her name being cleared. I think she's more concerned with the balance and the term that I kind of have pinned on her is benevolent utilitarianism, where, like, she sees rich people and she could take some of their money and they'll be fine and it will significantly increase the livelihood of somebody else. So it's it works like that. Like in one of the scenarios that we just played, she was really deeply disturbed by somebody who was supposed to be dead that wasn't. And there's an imbalance in that. She kind of has this intuitive sense of things could be different. Things could be at this almost like a status quo. Maybe she's not a hero so much as a defender of what she believes is a status quo. As she perceives it to be, and so she pursues those ends, and sometimes they'll jive with what the rest of the party believes, and sometimes they won't. Those will be interesting times, will they not?
She felt the burn.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You know, one of the things that's awesome about role playing is together we are all going to be telling a story, and I think you guys have done some great work setting up some things that we'll be able to see pay off down the road as we continue to play together and have fun. I think it's one of the cool things that has drawn me back to role playing games is this ability to tell stories, to have fun with my friends, and to talk about the strange far off world that is like ours and is different at the same time. So we're looking forward to it. So we are going to be playing through some Starfinder Society quests and different things moving forward, and you'll get to hear those stories. So in the meantime, how about let's go around and everybody sign off as your character. All right?
I forgot how Wilford Brimley speaks.
Wilford Brimley, this is Bo Kemper signing off.
This is P9KO. Good night, everyone.
Neth11 doesn't understand why this is necessary.
And Olin Essa, who is cast as Ziyang, but I'm not going to make any attempts at sounding feminine, so this is all you're going to get as far as character voice is concerned. So, too, as reduce and minimize any offensiveness.
Master Mechanic, Lint Goba. Later, fools.
All right. We look forward to seeing you all in the drift. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to The Drift, a NerdsOnEarth.com podcast. Check out our website for all things nerdy at NerdsOnEarth.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at OutInTheDrift. As always, thanks to our amazing audio engineer, Andrew Danielson, who also created our amazing theme song. You can find out more about his work at DanielsonSound.com. Join us next time when we have our first Out in the Drift space combat.